Atomic Mosquito Unsigned Radio Show.
Fire in her eyes and I just can't breathe. Here she comes, and my pulse starts to race. I got beads of sweat running down my face and a chill in my spine. She walks in time perfectly to the beat on the edge of my seat. Can't lose, cause she got tiny red bows on the points of her shoes and a groove in to this beat. This is another soul that keeps on dancing when the sun goes down. Yeah, it's another soul that keeps your feet up in the ground. Yeah, it's another soul that keeps on loving the whole night long. Well, it's another. I got beads of sweat running down this face and a chill in my spine. She walks in time, up the beat to the beat. Oh man, I'm on the tip of my.
Guys, this is the Atomic Mosquito Unsigned Radio Show, and guess what? We have the Branker Haste in the house.
Well, it's another soul that keeps on dancing till the sun goes down. Said it's another soul that keeps your feet sat on the ground. Said it's another.
Fantastic. How you doing, people?
Yeah. good.
Thank you for making it, for making it here. I know you're very, very busy people. It's fantastic. Listeners out there, the Atomic Mosquito Unsigned Radio Show, the Brian Cohays in the house. And the track that I just played just a few minutes ago was...
Northern Soul.
It's a fantastic track. I really enjoyed it. When you guys sent it over, I thought it was just having that balance between being a rock track, but yet retaining that mellowness, which goes straight to the point. I think you guys have received quite a number of reviews saying exactly that. You have that special balance where you, I know you don't do it on purpose, it just happens. And you have that melodic edge there, but yet you're able to kick when it's necessary. So how did that sound came about? I know you guys come from different cities, and you can, please, first of all, we have on guitar and lead vocals.
We've got Stan.
And then we've got Alex on the second guitar and backing vocals.
Yeah.
But the band is...
there's another guy, Ross, the drummer, who couldn't be here tonight.
Three, the perfect number.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Magic triangle.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us a little bit how the sound and the band came about.
The sound, really, is just... It's by mistake, I would say. We've all got different influences. We're not musicians who've been taught how to play specifically in any way. We don't have any musical training as such. So we've all got different influences. We, you know, it all ends up in the same melting pot and produces the sound. I think we all like pop music at the end of the day. We all like songs that have hooks. And whilst we like different things like rock and hip-hop and like heavier rock and stuff like that, the pop side of thing always comes out and we always have melodies. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, it kind of like started with me and Stan doing acoustic gigs and that. And then we met Ross. And Ross has like really brought, I'd say, power to the set. And
he's a really good drummer. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
we stole him from another band. We caged him, put him in a bag, put him in the back of the van.
Yeah, yeah.
Drove him off to rehearsals.
He's really brought like a load of power to when we play live, and we've kind of built around that. And that's kind of where how our live shows kind of develop, really.
That's very, very interesting. I mean, from a... of course, I'm presenting this show and I've been for the last 3 years, but I'm a drummer as well, and I started from drumming. So the first thing, and in fact, there's a track that I like to play just in a little while, is called...
Yesterday's Girls.
Yesterday's Girls, okay. And the drumming on that track, when I listened to it, I was hooked immediately. Within 2 seconds, I was like, wow, what's going on here? And it's quite complicated. That guy really knows what he's doing. So you guys, well, I'm, you know, being a drummer, it's not just because I'm a drummer, but without a good engine, in a band, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, in fact, that track there, we actually wrote it probably in about 10 minutes, and it just kind of started with the beat. And then,
serious?
With the beat, and then...
We were in a rehearsal, and we were just like, right, give us a beat. He played us a beat, the beat that you hear on the record now.
Yeah.
I just put some guitar over it, I stuck some bass. We went away, it was like a 5-minute jam, and we all looked at each other and went, right, we'll do that again, remember what it is. A week later, brought some lyrics in, played it through, and the format we played it through in the first time in the rehearsal room is the format it is now.
Yeah.
It's never changed.
Nothing at all.
We need to box that, sell it.
Exactly.
Sell that formula.
Yeah, that's how it can happen. Like, some of them, you know, take 10 minutes, but some of them, you know, they also develop over weeks and weeks and months and months. So there's two sides to it. And again, you know, nothing might happen for a few, and then you might just get three in 1 3-hour session or whatever. So you just don't know.
I think that's the good thing about this EP as well, is that it's the tip of the iceberg, really. I think a lot of bands release what they've got at the time, and that's all they've got, and then they have to go away and put in a bit of graft to come up with the next thing. But this is just really the tip of the iceberg for what we've got. We've got a lot of stuff. And so it's we're looking forward to doing an album next year and seeing where that takes us, because we've got material.
Well, that sounds like your sound is very polished, and as I said, he has a very peculiar band. In fact, I can't really say that you sound like X, Y, or Z, because the way the balance that you guys have between, by the way, wonderful vocals and backing vocals, that was fantastic, guys, live. Sorry that I didn't say it before. I'm excited just like you to be on the radio. I love it every time. I think it's a very special thing that I that I have, and the fact that I get to hear very talented people like yourselves before many other people, and hopefully many more will listen right now, people out there, or download the podcast, which will be very soon on myspace.com/CarloAtomicMosquito, and I bet on your Facebooks and Twitters and everything. Yeah. But you mentioned that some songs take a little bit longer, like, for example, tell us a little bit, because the listeners out there, some of them are musicians, some of them would like to be doing what you guys are doing. So when you say takes take a little longer, how long, and how would a song develop with the Branco Haste? How would that mechanism, if there is one, get together?
I think it's different depending on who's writing it, because Al's got a lot more patience than I have. And I think
he'll
sit with a song, whereas I will literally want to have the finished product in my head after 10 minutes, and I'll discard ideas left, right and centre until something that I really like comes along. But I get the feeling that with you, you will sit with something and make it work. Or
how about you, Alex?
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Sometimes there's been a couple like where, you know, from start to finish, you start kind of in the evening and you just won't go to bed until you're satisfied with what you've got. But it's hard to say. There isn't really like a mechanism or a process that you could define as writing a song, really.
So, well, going back to the writing of songs and the fact that sometimes songs come up in such a short time, and, well, you said that Yesterday's Girl was put together in 10 minutes. I mean, Unbelievable. How about if we play it?
Let's play it.
Listeners out there, the Branco Haste, this is Yesterday's Girl.
Atomic Mosquito Unsigned Radio Show.
Guys, thank you very much. What was that?
This is a heist.
Yeah, right, heist. And that's the name of your.
It's the name of the EP, and it's a track that we've had as a live track.
As a live,
but it's not going to be on the EP.
Oh, it's not.
No.
That's kind of usually what we start with when we play live. It's kind of our opener or intro music, as it were.
It's not quite normally quite as jazzy as that, but
yeah.
But it's just it gives us a chance at the start to just. Get warmed up, get rocking, and we all sing on it as well. The drummer sings on that one as well, Ross.
Beautiful.
So we had three ways.
So I think it's probably not even 2 minutes when we play it live.
We play
a lot quicker than that.
You play a lot faster, do you?
Yeah.
Like, for example?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the feel of that track is very good. It's very involving. So after that track, obviously, I feel like asking you for more, and I'm going to in just a few moments. But before we get there, can we start just saying to the listeners out there, if they want to get in touch with you, well, we've got time to say it over and over again, but your MySpace page, Facebook, Twitter, and whatnot.
Cool. MySpace, we're there at obviously www.myspace.com/thebrancoheist. Branco is B-R-A-N-C-O, and heist, look in the dictionary, under H. It's there.
And we're also on Facebook. If you just search for The Branco Heist, you'll see our fan page there. And so that's where people can get in touch with us.
Yeah. And the MySpace at the minute, as of, I think it was last night, it's got 50-second clips of each of the tracks that's going to be on the EP.
Okay.
So you can have a little taster.
Yeah, preview.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got to ask you. I know it all. I know that in November, and if I'm not wrong, the 27th of November. But you tell us.
Yeah, well, on the 27th of November, we're doing a launch party.
Quite a big gig.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive gig. We're playing at Islington O2 Academy 2, that's the Friday night, last Friday of November, and we're doing a launch party for our EP, which is called This Is a Heist. And then at midnight on that night, so going into the 28th of November, those four tracks will be available on iTunes.
That's fantastic. And the O2, the Academy 2, is it the one upstairs or downstairs?
Because there are two. Having never set upstairs, foot in the building, I'm not sure. It's well, the smaller right. one of the two.
The only time I've been there.
Is the one... Okay. No, because I know that there's a company that called JAR, I think, but many other companies, and they are quite big. And if you... Of course, guys, well, no doubts about it, but if you do that sort of gigs, you know, there are kind of a few people that probably will be there checking you out. Does that stress you out a little bit? Do you feel a little bit nervous about it, or you're absolutely cool?
Not at all. I mean, anyone that comes to see us, you know, is welcome. Doesn't matter.
If they're from industries or...
No, yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, people, and in my little experience, when you got a bigger gig and some people maybe coming from some industry, some labels and stuff, etc., checking you out, it gives you, can give you like a buzz that makes you actually play even better. I mean, that nervous, the little nervous thing that works like caffeine to me.
I know what you're saying, but I think at the same time, the difference with this band to a lot of bands out there at the minute is that we're not trying to be anything or trying to do anything that's you know relating to any scene or trying to conform to anything. We're just, the thing about this band is it's real. We're just three lads who like playing music, like playing our music together, and you know, moreover, we're a live band, which is good about tonight actually, because we're getting to play the songs in a different format to what we're used to.
Exactly, and like every time we play live, if someone comes down to see us, you know, they've chosen that's what they're doing that night, and they're paying however much to get into the venue, so you know we've got a job to do to you know to entertain.
It's easy for a band or a recording artist to just record an album or a track and sit on the couch and watch it sell. But you know we're about music as an art form in terms of performance and live. You know we've spent the best part of last year working really hard to develop our live sound. Because when we first started out, it was literally like every gig we'd put a new track in the set. And that's what people used to say to us, and they say, it's great that you put, you know, a new song in every time. But we got to the stage where we thought, maybe we've got to rein it in a bit, and we've got to get better as a band, because the thing that's going to make people want to come and see us again or buy the record is if they've been to see us live in a gig.
Absolutely, you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you can go into the studio or you can try and record stuff too early, and at the end of the day, it's about playing live. And And I think if we'd, like the tracks, I mean, we're really pleased with like the sound that we've got and the production on the tracks that we've recorded. But I don't think we would have had that even 6 months ago. So you really have to get tight and really work hard and practice.
So you guys, would you say that you, for the last year, you've been, how many rehearsals have you been clocking in a week?
This is the thing, somebody asked me this the other day. And
just curious.
To be honest with you, we probably don't rehearse as much as we should.
No, but to get your live sound, well, gigging only?
I think it just gels. That's the thing. I think we're very fortunate in that because we're all reading from the same page. We've all, you know, we're similar musical backgrounds. We've not been taught note by note from a book.
Right.
It just seems to gel. Like the great Liverpool teams of the 1970s and 80s, you know, it just seems to gel.
In fact, I was about to say, where is that accent coming from? Because are you from the one from Liverpool? You were saying that you're not.
Well, I'm not really from Liverpool city centre, but I have Liverpool links in my family. Yeah,
right.
I grew up on the outskirts, about 10 miles outside the city.
Okay, well, it's close enough.
More of Lancashire.
I'm from Essex or northeast London edge. I grew up in Woodford. And Ross is from Stevenage. In Hertfordshire. So I mean, yeah, we're all kind of from vaguely different parts of the world, but I think like you couldn't put a number on or a number of hours on like how much rehearsing we're doing. I mean, I think it's more, you know,
quality,
and like we're often like out drinking on a Friday or whatever. And I think, you know, because we're all good mates as well, I think when you're on stage and say something goes wrong in a song, because you're mates, that kind of goes a long way to kind of covering it up and just ploughing on, because you're not kind of annoyed with someone for, you know, for a lead coming out of your guitar or dropping a drumstick or whatever, you know. So that's part of it, I think.
We've never, it's not like patched together about the back of the enemy, this band, is it? It's like we're not faced with having to think about getting on with people, because we are, right, like you said, we're just mates.
Yeah, but how, when did you guys, I forgot to ask, when did the Branco heist got together the first time you guys thought, okay, I think we got something going on, why don't we start a band?
As the Branco heist, it was probably 2 years ago.
Fairly fresh.
Well, me and Stan were doing some acoustic gigs, and then...
okay, so you started a while earlier.
Some of the songs have been around a bit longer, but in the band in its form, as it is now, you know, playing, going for this kind of sound, it's about 2 years, just over 2 years, I'd say.
But I think, like, when the first time, like, I met Ross, like, the first time we kind of all rehearsed or just started going through a couple of tunes, I think probably after about, I think it was about 5 minutes, I thought to myself, this guy's pretty good on the drums, and I think we all kind of clicked and realised that we had the setup then to kind of move forward as a three piece.
Well, three is the perfect number, and I mean, you know, going back in the 70s and stuff, there were some bands that were really huge and there were just three people, and I remember a friend of mine, when I was playing with them and we were three, he was saying, oh, if you are a band of three piece, you have to have busy drums. There's got to be something going on all the time. Are you agree with that? Because
very busy drums. You only need to listen to a 10-second clip of any of our tracks. We've got very busy drums.
And it's, yeah.
But what people have always said to us from day one is that we've got a big sound.
If you're only three people. We've two played, guitars, two vocals.
But come and see us live, because it's even bigger.
Right, yeah, of course.
But, like, honestly, playing in Liverpool as well, a lot of the bands, because we did our first ever gig in Liverpool, we did a double header, didn't we? Two gigs in one night. It's almost too much for us to take.
Tell us about that one.
Well, we played the first one, and then we'd had quite a few drinks by that stage. And then someone... yeah, I think
we had
got
phone
a text
call
or something,
yeah, as we were leaving Liverpool saying, do you want to do another one now? So we went to one of the, you know, those Revolution bars, and we played down there, didn't we?
It was a bit shambolic, to be fair, looking back on it.
I thought we were great.
It was good fun.
Rock and roll.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing about what we're saying is that bands up in Liverpool, there's obviously a sound, isn't there? There's a Liverpool sound.
Yeah.
And they tend to have an extra guitarist in there. Sometimes they have five in the band. And so we were always faced with that. And I don't know if consciously we thought about it, but we were coming off the stage and people were saying to us, you know, you've got a really, really big sound. And that was playing after bands who had two guitars, keyboards and that kind of thing.
And you just, yeah, just the three of you.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, were you saying something?
No, I was just going to say, you know, three just seems, you know, the most comfortable number as a setup, I think, because it's obvious, but you've only got two other elements to be worrying about, like staying in time with and reacting to, and I think it's, for me personally, it works out best.
And for my guitar, it's just less people to play over. So okay. Better for me.
You can play more. Because the more you are, the less you have to play, because everybody needs to put something in. Well, in fact,
trying to play over Ross.
I tell you what,
I need a bigger amp.
It doesn't sound like you do when you guys were playing live just this few moments ago with your guitars. In fact, I must say that there was quite a big sound just here in the studio with just a couple of SM58, no big deal, no effects, nothing, as dry as it gets, and just two guitars and you know, vocals and backing vocals. And in fact, I'm tempted to ask, how about playing another track?
Let's do it.
What are you going to play for us?
This is a track that's not going to be on the EP again, so you'll have to wait for the album next year and buy that as well.
All right, so listeners are there, very, very lucky.
And this is called Johnny Push the Button.
Take it away.
Down, knock him down, knock him down, knock him down.
fantastic track. The Branco Highest in the house, guys. That was really, really beautiful. Who wrote that one?
That was one of mine.
Yeah. Okay.
It's one of those things, like, we write the tracks. The original ideas will come from one source, but when we get into the recording room, the rehearsal room, sorry, ideas come from all corners. So whilst, in the traditional sense of writing a song, lyrics and melody, it might come from myself or Al. Once we get in there, in terms of the Branco sound, that's the three of us.
Yeah, definitely. And like, it's not just Ross will come up with like his drum beat and I'll come up with a bass line. Like, we all kind of come up with things for each other and we suggest things to each other.
Let me say, you're a bass player, but you're a fine guitar player too.
Oh, thank you very much.
They can't see this, but he's actually playing it upside down as well.
He is.
It's because my brain's upside down.
Well, I don't know whether your brains are upside down or not, but it works with the music, so it's absolutely fine. Well, I must admit that, yes, I had the pleasure to listen to a couple of tracks that you sent to me. I have the honor to play your four tracks just before you guys have the gig on the 27th, and I'll play you on the show. Absolutely. So for the listeners out there, just, tune with us. Just the Thursday. What was the 27th? Is what, a Tuesday?
Friday.
It's a Friday,
Friday the
right.
27th. Okay. Last Friday of November.
So Thursday will... 26. And that day, guys, are there 6 to 8 p.m. at the Atomic Mosquito and Sound Radio Show. I will give you the preview of all of the four tracks for this fantastic band, The Branco Highest. And so you're very privileged out there to be able to listen to that music just before the album goes on sale on iTunes, just after midnight on the 27th, so into the 28th. Guys, as I was saying, the album sounds... The two tracks you have sounds polished, sounds good. Sounds involving. It's got the kick. It definitely has, but yet it retains the melody, retains that mellowness, and it goes straight to the heart. It's really beautiful. But now I'm spoiled because now you've been playing some fantastic tracks, and I'm really tempted to ask for more, and not for anything, because the sound you guys have in here, even unplugged, you manage to retain that really good blend. You can actually mellow the songs out, and it really feels good. And we have a guest in the house. What do you think?
They're tremendous, great bands. Really good, really good live.
Yeah, they are. We have a big fan of the band that couldn't let him out of the station. He had to come in.
He barged in through the door.
Well, for some special people, we definitely allow them to come in. Guys, that was a fantastic track, this fantastic sound that you have. I think you do know that you are getting to something that is very substantial. Don't you think that... it's not with a big head, but what I mean is, it sounds good. It must be fantastic to be playing and be behind that sound. It's a bit of a weird question.
I think we just want to test ourselves at each level. We feel that we're getting quite tight as a live unit now.
Yeah.
But I think just every time we play a gig, we just want it to be better than the last one. And just keep testing ourselves and play with bands that we haven't played with before, and expose ourselves to new types of music and people that haven't heard us before, and we just want to keep going, really.
That's it.
Gigging is happening, of course. The 27th is the big one. You got something before as well?
Yeah, we're playing the night before.
Night before?
Yeah, on the 26th. We're playing with a band called Officer Kicks, who are really making great progress. I've been getting airplay on a station called XFM, which I won't talk too much about, because obviously SW1 Radio is the greatest station in London.
Please do go ahead.
But they've invited us to support them. They're doing kind of an end-of-year party, so we're kind of treating that as a warm-up and a good chance to hopefully play to some new people. But I think 27th obviously is the big gig for us, and that's our EP launch night. So
that's fantastic. And for the people out there that would like to book it, reserve a ticket, because I guess it's going to be a rather packed night, how can they do that?
Well, ticket, there's various ways you can get them, but the best way is to do it over the internet. If you go to our Facebook page that we've created for this, if you just type in The Branco Highest, there'll be an event linked to it, which I think is This Is A Highest EP launch or something like that. Yeah. And should remember, because it was who did it.
and alternatively, you can just Google Islington O2 Academy 2, and then you'll you'll go onto their website and you'll just see all the dates and the gigs that are coming up. Click on the 27th and we'll be there. But yeah, from Monday, that's when the tickets are available. And they're £5 each.
That's very, very reasonable. How come? Well, we just normally be... I was thinking about a tenner for a venue like that.
Well, you can pay a tenner if you want.
No, but I... actually
yeah, thank you very much. I tell you what, guys. As a matter of fact, if it would have been a Thursday, it would have been difficult. But because it's the day after, it's a Friday, chances are I'm actually available to come and catch you live.
Brilliant.
Smashing.
Yeah.
I might even...
it's £5, isn't it? But if you pre-book your ticket as well, if you order in advance, is that correct? Is this right? Then you get a free... EP yeah. on the night.
Everyone that buys an advance ticket will get a free copy once when they come in on the door of our EP. And basically, we just want we're playing in a big venue, and you know we want it to be reasonable and good value for people to come down, and we want to get as many people in there, you know, and enjoying it and having a good night because it's Friday and it's the weekend.
So bring your grannies as well. Yeah. You need to pack it out.
Rent a crowd. No. We want as many people in there as possible, and Friday is all about drinking and having a good time. So the less money you having to worry about paying to get into a venue, the better.
I can't agree with you more. I mean, it really is for a Friday night in such a venue and with the sound that you guys can produce. And I'm really looking forward to get that live on stage at the Islington O2, which is in Islington, of course. And there are two of the venues. I don't know which one is the one or the two. But anyway, they're there. It's very famous. So I would think that night is going to be extremely special. Are you guys going to just give a away the EPs to only the people that pay
only
in advance,
that prepay. On the night you can buy
okay,
it,
poor people that won't be able to get the ticket then, yeah. They will suffer. They can get it
it'll
on
be £5 on the door and then £3.50 for the EP, I think.
That's very reasonable again.
So again.
Or you wait till midnight
and download it.
But you won't have seen us live. So that's the trade-off. Mm.
Well, I tell you what, with the live music that I've been getting here in the studio, listeners out there, you really, really don't want to miss this one. 27th of November, you've got plenty of time to plan your week in advance. So what time are you guys on stage?
We'll be on, well, there's, in fact, I should say, there's another great band that are going to be on with us called The Limits. They're from Nottingham, and we played with them when we played up in Nottingham. They'll be on at 8 o'clock, but doors will open at 7:30, and we'll probably go on between 8:30 and 9.
Okay.
So I'd say get down there for 8 and check out The Limits as well, because they're a
really,
really
good
band. Yeah,
really good. Again, a band with a big sound.
Their MySpace is myspace.com/TheLimitsUK. So check them out.
Fantastic! I can't believe you guys you're plugging another band. this is yay! It's really nice of you. I'm sure that The Limits, when they listen to this podcast, unless they're listening to the live recording right now. But I mean, absolutely, it's a very friendly thing, and you know, big up to you guys. That's fantastic. Before you go, I would love if you don't mind to play some more music. But I wanted to remind our listeners out there of your MySpace page, which is myspace.com/TheBrancoHeist. If I'm wrong,
yeah, that's the one.
You got a Facebook page as well, which is The Branco Heist. Again, they can just search
it's
a group
like one
page.
Of those fan pages.
Yeah, just search it on Facebook. Yeah,
type in The Branco Heist, and you can become a fan.
Fantastic. I will for sure. I will for sure. And how about Twitter? Do you like tweeting?
No.
I don't know.
Depends how tight me
whatever.
We're not set up.
No. Okay, well, they convinced me that I had to go and do that. But that's regardless. Hey, guys, what song are you going to play for us now?
We're
going to
play a song that was written by Al. And we often introduce this as the best song you've ever heard.
Okay.
It's called The Ghost.
Yeah.
Take it away.
In their hands. two drums, the silver sound. He will fade away. Well, he made no plans, so the enemy ran to the end of the earth. So you'll find what you're worth. Blessed are the few. She's alone in the crowd, dreaming of a ghost that she wants. Crash your drums, a silver sound. He will fade away.
Guys, we had in the studio the Branko Heist. What amazing sound these guys are able to put together. Two guitars and leading vocals and a backing vocals. Fantastic. And I know there is also a fantastic drum player that really was struck when I listened to that song, Yesterday's Girl. The sound is fantastic, whether they are acoustic or they are live. Please do remember, 27th of November, their debut album. You really want to get in touch with them. myspace.com/ The Branko Heist. And now I'd love to introduce once again one of their tracks that are going to be on the album. The song is called Yesterday's Girls. Please enjoy. These are the Branko Heist. Ciao.
The girl
on the girl. Golly, what's it yesterday? You were so high, but you're the last thing on their minds. They dropped you before the ink went dry. Went dry. You've been wrapping up bras of a paws. Now you're wrapping up chips cause you're not so hip. And you gotta slip out of the limelight.
Mosquito Unsigned Radio Show.